everybody. I'm Karen Hartglass, and you're listening to It's All About Food. How are you today? I'm hearing your answers. Some good. Some okay. All right. That's good. Thanks for joining me. I'm having some minor technical difficulties here, but I think we can proceed. I'm always grateful for all the toys and tricks we have in cyberspace. I'm in California right now, in the Bay Area, and I'm here for an extended period of time doing some fun work with healthy food and some theater projects that my partner Gary and I are involved with. And it's just an absolutely beautiful, stunning place to be. Lots of sun, fabulous, wonderful weather. I am so grateful to be in this space right now. Thank you for that. But it makes it a little challenging to broadcast, and I'm doing the best I can, so I hope this all works out for you because I have a lot of great things to share on today's program. So shall we get started? Yay, I think we shall. So let's see. Something that I like to do, I'm always scouring the internet for new information. Some of it's fun, some of it's serious, some of it's scary. And I'm always excited to find out about vegan businesses because making vegan products, products that don't harm animals, non-human animals, and human animals, all of us together, we don't want to exploit anybody. And I think we can all live in a really abundant, luscious, luxurious, wonderful life. And so when I see businesses pop up that offer products that don't exploit and don't use animals, I get excited because it's all about access. If we had the opportunity right at our fingertips to conveniently make a choice and buy a product that was lovely and within our reasonable budget, might be a little pricier than some other choices, might not be, but didn't exploit and minimize the tapping into the resources on the planet, just in general, a product that gives you everything you want and doesn't hurt anybody, wouldn't you want to buy that? I would. And that's why having access to more products, vegan products, is so important, and I want to support it. So when I find a new business, I want to tell you about it, and that's what we're going to be doing right now. I'm going to bring on my guest, Adam Markey, who has created the Soul and Stone Vegan Men's Shoe Store. Welcome to It's All About Food, Adam.
Thank you.
Hey, how are you doing, Adam?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Good. So, you're in Georgia?
Yep. Down here in Atlanta, we got a little bit of a thunderstorm going on right now, but we'll make it through.
Oh, yes, you will. I always like to hear where people are because it's just so thrilling to me that we can all communicate so easily no matter where we are, and I never take that for granted.
Great.
Okay, so let's start with your story. Who are you,
okay.
Adam?
Who am I? Where do I start?
Actually, that's a very difficult question to answer because many people go through life and never know who they are. So we don't have to get that philosophical unless
okay,
you want
to. Okay, I'd to start off in my high school days, but I guess we can speed it up a bit.
Yeah. So the idea is ultimately we want to get to why a vegan shoe store. So
yep.
That, you know, we can talk about being vegetarian and wherever you want
to
start.
I'd love to tell you kind of what brought on the idea. I'm someone that, you know, I've tried to avoid leather products for a number of years now. I think probably for many of the same reasons a lot of your listeners can identify with. And one of the areas that's always been somewhat of a challenge is when it comes to men's dress shoes.
Yep.
And a nice pair of dress shoes is just one of those things that I think almost every guy needs to have, whether
Absolutely.
It's because they have to wear it to work every day, or maybe it's just a few times a year for a social engagement or a family event, or even if you get a speeding ticket and you need to go to court, you need to put on a nice pair of shoes.
That's an interesting one. Okay, sure.
Well, but the point being that there's unlimited scenarios where a nice pair of shoes is going to be called for. And historically, there's been this assumption that dress shoes equal leather shoes. And one of the things I uncovered just on the consumer end is that there are plenty of vegan options out there. And I wanted to collect those and really present them in one unified place to try and bridge that world of men's dress shoes and vegan animal-friendly products. And so that's how I kind of came up with the concept of the store.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So that's lovely. And as I was mentioning before, it's all about access. And I'm not exactly sure why, but there's definitely more available for women in terms of clothing and for shoes that don't use animal products. And more we're starting to see men's products. And I can appreciate what you can say. I remember when my brother got married, he was looking for a suit to wear. And if he wanted to rent a tuxedo, it was hard because they're all wool-based and he didn't wear wool.
Right.
And then there's the issue of the shoes. And, you know, we all want to look good from time to time. And it's probably easier to find men's casual shoes, canvas, but to get a sharp-looking leather-like shoe is tough. So I appreciate you trying to do that. Now, I imagine it was a major learning experience to put this all together.
It has been. I mean, we're relatively new, but one of the first challenges I had was the reality is, and that there's no denying this, is I'm not a fashion guy. So,
okay.
And, I mean, that's just the truth. Anyone who knows me will tell you that. So how do I go about determining what, quote-unquote, nice-looking shoes are in order to offer them out to the public at large? So what I started to do was look through various stores and start to get a mental data collection of the styles and the traits that they were putting on display. And I would go online and look at the major retailers and see what their most popular products were. And just started to get this mental picture of what was actively moving now, and then sought out the vegan equivalents of them from the various, there's dozens of vegan manufacturers that specialize in vegan footwear, and started to just pull them all in and get a sense of what was available and literally test them out myself.
That's nice. So you have a nice collection now.
Oh, yeah. My closet is packed full of shoes now. It's I look like one of the Kardashians.
Have you gotten any more interested in fashion since you started to study it?
No, to be honest with you. I mean, as much as I'd like to say, oh, yeah, this is my new passion, but it's more the creating a usable, online, accessible store and providing as many people with the option to go a humane route versus what may be the more traditional route. Because as you were saying, there is accessibility there. There are options out there where you really don't have to sacrifice the look or the comfort or the quality or the stability and just continue on your normal shopping patterns, your normal everyday life without these products that cause harm to the planet or cause harm to an animal.
I don't want to go stereotyping, but I probably will right now, so I'll say my mea culpas and make my disclaimers before I do. But a lot of men aren't interested in fashion. There are many who are, but I think you'll find a great many of them just want to put on what's easy and comfortable and get on with the day. And then the time comes, as you mentioned before, a special occasion, they need to be dressed. So this is something that's really convenient for them. I mean, I'm thinking of that old television show, The Queer Eye for the Straight Guy, where these gentlemen would dress up somebody who was clueless about style. And it can be really difficult if you are a compassionate vegan who doesn't want to wear leather, or a vegetarian who doesn't want to wear leather, and don't know where to begin. And, you know, we do it all the time. My partner Gary and I, we go shopping for shoes, and shoes are kind of difficult, so maybe you can speak on this in a minute about trying them on online, because we'll go to different stores and look, and they're really, for dress shoes, it's next to impossible to find anything.
Yeah, and I think you're right, and I'll oblige by that stereotype. I think most guys don't want to shop and are not interested in fashion, just want to get a pair of kicks and move on with their daily life. But you can have those traits but still have compassion for animals and still be bothered by the environmental effects and the cruelty that's involved. You don't have to be one of the queer eyes in order to be one of the compassionate eyes, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
Okay, so is there a way to know that the shoe will fit you if you're ordering online?
Really the only way to do it is to order it, and they're shipped out for free, and if you don't like it, you send them back for free. It's pretty much a staple at this point in the online footwear business that every consumer is going to expect that. And I think that's fair, especially if you're
asking
a consumer that is not familiar with the vegan option, and you're asking them to pivot from what their standard buying habits have been. If they're willing to make that experiment, if they're willing to take a risk and say, well, I'll try on these shoes, I almost feel it's my obligation to make sure that they get them as quickly and conveniently and at no charge, as well as minimize the risk. If they don't like them, by all means, send them back. Not a problem. I'm just happy that people were willing to give them a try.
That can be a challenge when shopping online. A lot of people think, oh, I don't want to go for the shipping, especially I don't know if it's going to fit. So that is a very, very generous policy.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I will say, I mean, when I said earlier, I test them out myself, not everything made the cut. I mean, so these are quality, these are comfortable, and I would ask friends, neighbors, hey, what do you think of these shoes? And they would say, those aren't leather, which is the greatest compliment I could ask for. They look just like the traditional leather shoe. They feel like it. So there's really not as much of a pivot as many folks are going to think.
Now, you're sourcing these shoes from various manufacturers of shoes or vegan. These are all from vegan suppliers?
That is correct, yes.
Because there are some makers of shoes or storefronts that will offer a handful of vegan shoes, but they have all kinds of shoes. So we know that they're really clean.
Yeah, no, these are all from brands that specialize exclusively on vegan footwear, and in fact, they've all been approved vegan through PETA. So I think with that seal of approval.
Are you familiar with the shoe material icons that we see in shoes lately?
I'm not.
Well, whenever I'm looking to see if a shoe is vegan, and I don't know if it is or not, I look under the tongue of the shoe. And in the old days, it would say leather, or synthetic leather, or all man-made materials, and sometimes it wouldn't have anything at all. But more and more, I'm seeing these little icons, and the leather icon is a very odd-looking thing. I don't even know what it's supposed to be. It's kind of a six prong blop. I'm sure it's supposed to be something like a saddle or something. I don't know what it is. And then there's an icon of, it looks like fabric. It's horizontal columns and rows, and that means textile. And then there's a diamond that mysteriously means other. I don't know what other materials means.
Yeah, no, I'm not familiar. I mean, I know what you're referring to, where it'll say synthetic or leather materials, but I don't know the icons.
Right. I mean, I'm glad they're there, but if you don't know what they mean, it's kind of meaningless. So I was in the store looking for shoes, and I didn't see the all man-made material or the leather notice. I saw these little pictures. Unfortunately, I had my phone with me, and I was able to find it right away and figure it out. But it's kind of crazy stuff.
Learn something new.
Yeah. But it's much better to buy it from a supplier who guarantees that the materials are not from exploited animals.
Oh, yeah, definitely agreed. And it's great that they're not, they don't stand out as something unusual. I mean, they look just like and they feel just like every shoe people are accustomed to.
Okay, let's talk about the name of the store. Soul and Stone. There's something poetic about that. How did you decide on that name?
Well, I think you're going to be disappointed. when I set out to do this, I started to work with a creative and design team, some local freelancers, and they came up with it.
Okay.
One of the things I got to figure out early is, what am I good at and what am I not good at? Design and coming up with clever brand names is not something I'm good at. So I was very appreciative and dependent on their expertise.
Okay, well, they did a good job. I'm just wondering what they were thinking when they did it. Do you know?
Well, the stone part, we were trying to think natural, but at the same time somewhat masculine.
Mm-hmm. I get it.
And then the soul part just kind of had, because it had a nice ring to it.
Yes. Okay. Do you know where some of your shoes are made?
They all seem to be made in Portugal. They're imported primarily from the UK or New York, but there's a handful of factories in Portugal that are making these types of shoes.
Awesome. And are you familiar with the glue that's used in shoes?
With these shoes?
Well, I know these are vegan, right?
Right.
Vegan glue.
Right. So they would not use any animal-based products whatsoever.
Right. Well, this is great. So right now I'm looking at your website, and as you mentioned, you just have a small collection. There are I'm looking at nine items, and they are stunning.
Thank you.
You know, it's funny. I was just thinking of my sister. I have to turn her on to this site. My sister's a vegan, and she's a commercial real estate lawyer. This has nothing to do with anything other than an important comment she made about men's shoes. She was recently featured. She won an award. I may not get the phrasing exactly right, but she was awarded one of the top 15, I think, South Florida women in business. And she was at a ceremony, and they each were given just a few seconds to introduce themselves and give something positive about how they got to where they were. And my sister told me everybody else went over their time allotment, way over their time allotment, but she didn't. She just went up there, and she said her secret to reaching the top was wearing men's shoes. She could go fast in men's shoes. men's shoes are so much more practical and comfortable than women's shoes.
Well, I can imagine. I've never tried to wear high heels myself, but I can imagine that, yeah, they probably are more comfortable than women's shoes.
Oh, you have to try it for Halloween sometime.
Maybe next year. It's funny, you mentioned she's an attorney. When I was first playing with this concept, I was talking to a friend of mine who's an attorney, who's also, I mean, he tries to keep vegetarian, tries to avoid leather. But the reality is he's in court several days a week, and he's got to be presentable. He's got to look professional. Mm. And he said, Adam, it's my job. I can't go in there wearing, cannabis Birkenstocks and ask the judge or the clients or the jury to take me seriously. So he's very excited about this idea of where he can start to go shopping and
he's going to be your
some
best
of the vegan options.
Yeah,
he will.
Now, I know you're just starting out. Do you think you'll continue to just stick with these men's dress shoes, or will you expand a little on other men's shoes?
I don't know exactly where it's going to expand out to. I definitely want to stay on the men's side of things. If anything, it's just because the whole world of women's footwear scares the hell out of me.
Right. I'm just curious because we live in New York most of the time, and the weather there is really nasty on everything. It's nasty on homes, it's nasty on skin, it's nasty on clothing, and it's especially nasty on shoes. And as I mentioned, my partner Gary is always looking for stylish shoes that are functional, and he's having an especially hard time being a Californian in the nasty New York weather, especially the rain and the snow, finding shoes that will hold up in bad weather. Something to think about for the future.
we'll do. And there's also things like wallets and belts and there's a whole world of products that I think can lend themselves to this notion.
Well, this is what the 21st century is all about, everybody, and that is creating traditional products that we all know and love, and that's food products and clothing products, where we eliminate the animal ingredients, and we replace them with plant-based ingredients, or I guess we can call petrochemical products, what do we call them, natural ingredients? They may be animal-based, but they are from animals from years ago.
Yeah, no, these are earth-friendly and animal-friendly.
Yes, of course. But this is the 21st century, I hope, eliminating the exploitation and the cruelty and the suffering and making beautiful, well-made products that you're proud to wear, comfortable to wear, and ultimately convenient to buy, thanks to people like Adam Markey, right?
Absolutely. And for you, I set up a discount code for any of your listeners who may want to give you any of these shoes a try.
Oh, great. Tell us about it.
Sure. So if you go to the site, it's Sole, S-O-L-E, and Stone. And any purchases, if you put in the discount code Karyn, C-A-R-Y-N, you get 20% off. And obviously you still get the free shipping and the free returns if you need to return it. But I will say, after, we just started out, after a few dozen orders, no one's returned them. These are good products.
Nice. Well, this is very exciting, and I'm glad to have found you because you just launched, a month ago?
End of April, so about 5 weeks.
Okay, 5 weeks. Very, very exciting. Well, the people who are looking for vegan products are very passionate about finding the ones they like and finding them. I think you'll find, in the long term, a very loyal customer base. And I want to repeat this offer that Adam is giving us. So anyone who's interested in checking out soulandstone.com, and that's soul like S-O-L-E, soulandstone.com, he's offering a 20% discount, and all you have to do is put in my name, C-A-R-Y-N, Now, does that matter, capital or lowercase or capitals, or does it matter?
No, it shouldn't matter.
Okay, C-A-R-Y-N. You have to remember how to spell my name because not everybody spells Karen the way I do.
And if you forget, you can just hit one of the Contact Us icons and send me a note.
Which is
still a small operation, so I'll be reached immediately and help anyone out.
That's awesome. Now, do you have any long-term intention of opening a storefront?
No. I like the e-commerce side of things. That's kind of where my background is, and that's actually kind of where I think a lot of the trend for attire, and especially with men's footwear, is going. Like you said earlier, guys don't really like to shop, and so offering a site where they could just point and click and then get on with things
I agree with you.
Is appealing with a lot of people.
Yes, I don't like shopping either, and it's a very frustrating thing to go to a store when you can't find the size you're looking for, and more, unfortunately, because of costs and other things, the service is not very good in stores. Sometimes the inventory is a mess, and this way you have a very clean and neat interface online. You don't have to worry about all of the mess. That's your problem, Adam. And it's a very pleasant experience.
Yeah. I mean, it's intended to be as simplistic and straightforward as possible.
Yes. Well, as everyone knows, this is not a food product. This show is called It's All About Food, but I often like to feature different products that are not necessarily things that we can eat, but are things that don't use exploited non-human animals in the process, and this is one of them, and shoes are a really important thing, especially because a lot of people think wrongly that shoes and leather are almost a byproduct of animals being used for food, and it's a very unique process all its own, and leather, whether it supports another business or not, is a cruel and unnecessary material that we don't need to be using. Thank you, Adam, for making a difference in this world. We need more people creating small businesses like you're creating to give access to people who want to buy cruelty-free, lovely, useful, comfortable products with free shipping.
Absolutely. And all I'm doing is creating the option. It's there. It's just as easy as you would from any of the other larger retailer stores online.
Okay, great. Adam, thank you so much for joining me. This was easy, wasn't it?
It was easy. Thanks so much. Enjoy California.
Okay, thank you. Enjoy Georgia and the rain.
Will do.
Best of luck to you. Okay. You're welcome. That was Adam Markey of the new online vegan footwear men's dress shoe store, Sole and Stone. And right now there are 9 stunning shoes being featured. And you get a 20% discount if you use my name, Karen, C-A-R-Y-N. So I hope you can take advantage of that and benefit from it. And remember, women, you can wear men's shoes. My sister recommends it highly. You can go faster and higher. Okay, let's just take a very quick break, and I'll be right back to talk about some things that are near and dear to my heart.
This is PRN. PRN, the Progressive Radio Network.
Given these complex times, we all need to connect the dots, and that's what we do On my show, every Wednesday at 10 a.m. Eastern Time, I'm Allison Rose Levy, and I welcome environmentalists, thought leaders, media critics, advocates, health experts, and authors to an in-depth dialogue about how all facets of social choices impact health, food, and the environment. Check out all my past shows at prn.fm in the show archives. There's some great thought leaders sharing their ideas and letting you know what you can do to change our world. Please join us.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to invite you to listen to Warrior Connection on the Progressive Radio Network. Progressive Radio Network is moving forward, and we're doing the best we can for the veterans of our nation. Warrior Connection is an ongoing discussion with veterans, scientists, politicians, journalists, reporters, and doctors about the health and environmental effects of war on our nation's veterans. Our purpose is to provide the information necessary for all veterans to lead a productive life. Thank you very much, and God bless America.
PRN, Progressive Radio Network.
Everybody, Karen Hartglass here with It's All About Food. Okay, we didn't talk about food the first portion of the show, so I am going to fill your bellies and your minds with more food talk in the second part of this show, because it's my favorite subject, and as I mentioned, something near and dear to my heart, and that is food. And food can really nurture our hearts in so many ways. And the thing that I want to focus on today is how food nurtures our health specifically. You know, I do private coaching, and most of the time it's for people who just want to eat more plants. And I do my best to come up with a plan for each individual that will fit their different lifestyles and needs and tastes and budget, et cetera. And but from time to time, I do talk to people who are in health crisis, specifically cancer. I was diagnosed with advanced ovarian cancer 10 years ago, and I can't believe it's been 10 years. It'll be 10 years in October. And I'm still here. And because I'm still here, I'm happy to share with everyone what I know helped me and share that with other people. And at the same time, I'm always scouring the literature, reading information by my colleagues who are experts, doctors and nutritionists and dietitians, to help put together new plans for people that are experiencing one thing or another. And not every plan works for everyone and their lifestyles. And I thought, because I've been focusing a bit on cancer for some particular clients these days, I thought I might share some of the things that I'm discovering. And it's interesting, because I'm always looking for food. I believe that natural food, whole food sources are really the best way to support our immune system, boost our immune system, energize our immune system, and reduce risk of disease. But even still, even when we're healthy vegans, healthy plant-based eaters, there are so many toxic things in the world that can seep through and cause things to go out of balance when we least expect it. It happens. We're human. We are vulnerable. And as I like to quote my dad from time to time, nobody gets out of this world alive. So something's going to get us. But what I want to encourage and support is that we can live long, healthy, quality lives, feeling good. And then some point way later, when we're like 150 or something, we get a little slow, tired, and we just go to sleep. But in the meanwhile, we've got some work to do, right? So let's talk about food and how some of the research is showing which foods in particular are really, really showing benefits. So the first thing I want to talk about is the phases in a trial. we've talked about how expensive research is, and there are different phases that pharmaceutical companies or researchers have to go through in order to prove to everyone that what they found is safe and efficient and shows some benefit. And it can take 12 to 18 years to discover and develop a product before it passes all of the necessary tests to be approved by our government as safe and effective. And some of the products that actually go through this long and expensive, over $1 billion cost project, some of them in the end aren't that safe and aren't that effective. So it's a really challenging process. You've heard of the different phases of clinical research. People have to come up with an idea and go through some preclinical stage. And then there are actually five phases, phase zero, phase one, phase two, phase three, and phase four. And very often things kind of stop around phase two. The first few phases don't use very many people, 10 people, 20 to 100 in phase one, and 100 to 300 in phase two. And then it starts to get really expensive in phase three when 1,000 to 2,000 people are required. And then it goes from there. So this tremendous cost, it's very difficult. And who's going to pay for this? Well, it's typically the pharmaceutical companies who want to know that they're going to make a profit ultimately. So they do a lot of investing. The other part that's a challenge in research is when something is thought to be beneficial for one reason or another. Typically what we do, something that T. Colin Campbell often calls reductionism, we extract the beneficial ingredient either from a food or from a plant and do tests, typically in vitro in a lab environment, to see what it does. And with cancer, I mean, it's fascinating. With cancer, we have a handful of cell lines. These are cancer cells that were taken from a handful of humans, a number of them from the 1970s, and they have been grown and are now being used in all kinds of experiments. It's fascinating because many tests are done on the same kind of cell, so it's an apple-to-apple-to-apple comparison. But some people that these cancer cells were taken from, who are now long gone, they live on in research. And the other thing about research is, in order to go through these phases, they have to be tested on animals. And this is an unpleasant reality for us, for those of us who don't believe that animals should be involved in testing, and non-human animals, of course. I always like to make that clarification. Because what happens to non-human animals does not guarantee it will happen to humans. Okay, so can you get to what the foods you wanted to talk about, Karen? Yes, of course. Now, I've mentioned mushrooms before, and I'm going to talk a little bit about mushrooms now because they're really wonderful. I like to call mushrooms natural chemotherapy. And I had heard about the power of mushrooms 10 years ago when I was going through my treatment, and I ended up, the many supplements that I purchased during my treatment, I took a concentrated Coriolis product. And there's been a lot more research on the Coriolis, which is also called turkey tail, and some of the other mushroom products in the last 10 years. And a lot of it's fascinating and very positive. But very often you hear in the media that they say white button mushrooms will prevent breast cancer, right? You've heard that. I've heard it. And I've said it. There are lots of filtered down, almost watered down statements that we hear in the media to advertise something. And I think it's important to really understand, and it's hard to understand because you have to go to the original source, which is the peer-reviewed public research paper that presented it, and then read how they prepared the samples, who was involved, did they do in vitro study, did they extract materials. It's complicated. And then you might have some understanding on what was meant when you heard the line that approximately one button mushroom per day has been linked to a 64% decrease in the risk of breast cancer. In that particular study, they were actually looking at the white mushroom's impact on inhibiting aromatase activity and on breast cancer cell proliferation. It was actually from about 15 years ago. And they can't actually prove that giving women one button mushroom a day is going to prevent cancer, but they can prove that an activity that has been shown to cause breast cancer cells to grow can be reduced or inhibited, and then they can make these very broad statements. But the bottom line is, I think we're pretty well convinced that mushrooms have very positive health-promoting properties. But here's another thing that they do in the research. In the research, they don't have humans just chomping on mushrooms and then they watch to see if they get cancer or not. That takes forever. That's expensive, and it won't even guarantee that it's the mushroom that's doing the trick. No, what they have to do is, in a short period of time, study a particular ingredient. In the mushroom's case, they do extractions. So they extract from the mushroom the ingredients that they think are going to have the benefit in reducing cancer risk, either for supporting the immune system, so the immune system can work at fighting the cancer, or by causing apoptosis, which is causing cancer cells to die. It's hard. So with mushrooms, for example, there are water-based extractions, and then there are alcohol-based extractions. So the reason why I'm bringing this up is, when you eat a mushroom, my understanding now is the best way to do it is to cook your mushrooms in water for at least 30 minutes. And this will enable the valuable things in the mushrooms that are going to be useful to you to be accessible through digestion. You want to be able to get through those tough cell walls in the mushrooms, and boiling them for 30 minutes will do it. And there are places that make these mushroom extractions, and what they do is sometimes they boil a mushroom first, and then they take the product and then soak it in alcohol for like a month, and then they have to do some filtering processes, and they'll sell tinctures that you can buy that have a concentrated mushroom product that has been extracted through hot water or alcohol. It's complicated. And I personally want to believe that the whole food is best. It's fascinating to learn these things, and maybe, indeed, we will ultimately get the ultimate goal, which is a pill that people can take that can contain all the valuable things that we're discovering about mushrooms and other foods. But I want to believe that the body knows best, and nature has created things for us with a very complicated array of things that work in harmony together. And that's why I believe it's so important to eat whole foods and whole mushrooms. But mushrooms do need to be cooked, and I am now at a point where I'm not just quickly stir-frying my mushrooms anymore. I'm letting them cook, boil for 30 minutes before I use them. And I use dried mushrooms very often, and fresh mushrooms as well. So you can prepare a large amount of mushrooms, cooking them in water, make a week's worth, or freeze some of it, and have that to add to your soups, your stews, just sip on it as it is. But this is a very valuable, healthy food. So I hope that you take advantage of the power of mushrooms. Now, if you don't like mushrooms, you can either cross your fingers and hope you never need them and eat all the other healthy foods that are out there, or you might learn to like them, or at least learn how to eat them where you don't have the texture that you might feel is unpleasant. And you can do that by using mushroom powders or mushroom broths. Let's see, what else have we got here regarding marvelous, marvelous mushrooms? Right, so the other side of mushrooms is that I think they're delicious, and especially when we're being vegan and we want to not eat meat products, mushrooms are often called meat or explain that they have a meaty texture. And some of the ones that we're starting to see in farmers markets that have not been as popular before, like maitake, for example, very meaty, very chewy, very, very flavorful, just yummy. And I was wondering, since I was mentioning about water extractions and alcohol extractions, I don't know this, but I'm thinking that cooking the mushrooms in wine may actually be therapeutic. It's never been tested, but wine does have alcohol in it, and I'm thinking that it can help bring out some of the good things and make them more absorbable and more accessible. And now I just want to share, before I get on to the next bunch of foods and products that I wanted to talk about, here I am in California, and we do love visiting a certain number of restaurants while we're here. So while I'm on the subject of mushrooms, we went to Herbivore a few days ago, and that's a restaurant up in San Francisco. It's all vegan. And Herbivore is one of those wonderful restaurants that's been around for a while where the food is really clean. They have great big salads and soups. You can have some decadent things there as well, but it's very easy to make a very sensible, nutritious choice there and enjoy it. So I like to get big salads there. I love their green juice. They add mint to their green juice, which always tickles my tongue, like, oh, that's a nice fresh taste that I don't always get in my daily green juice. But they have this big bowl of soup, and you may know that I'm a big fan of big soups, and that they've since modified the recipe since I've been there, since more of these meat analogs are out. And I don't always go for the meat analogs, but I went for the ginger broth with veggie beef. And what I loved in it were the mushrooms. There were these really wonderful mushrooms that were beefy. It wasn't even the, I think they were actually oyster mushrooms maybe that were in there, but they were just so good. Thinking about it right now is really making me hungry. But I just had a big bowl of soup and had plenty of mushrooms in it, so I'm not really hungry. The other place that we've been going to probably a little more than we should is Veggie Grill. It's near where we're staying, and it's fun, and it's just very convenient. And there, too, I try to make the most sensible choice. Now, Veggie Grill is a fast food vegan restaurant. It's here in California, and I'm sure they'll be spreading around to other places, and they have a really fun menu, but they are catering to a American palate, a standard American diet kind of palate, which is loaded with salt and sugar and oil. They may be cleaner than some other places, but I've just found that some of their salad dressings are a little too sweet with me, with sugar and agave, so I'm trying to be really careful when I order there. They have this one sandwich called Papa's Portobello, and I had it once with bread, and then I realized that they had a bread-free kale-style option where they serve it on kale, and then you have to eat it with a fork and knife, but I thought that was a really great option, and I appreciated them having it, and it was just so yummy. There are lots of wonderful mushrooms out there, and they're all good. The the study that I mentioned before from 2001 that frequently gets a lot of press because of the power of the button mushroom and its inhibiting aromatase activity and breast cancer cell proliferation, they tested a number of vegetables and mushrooms in that same study. They tested wood ear, crimini, oyster mushrooms, Italian brown mushrooms, enoki, and baby button mushrooms, and stuffing mushrooms, and shiitake mushrooms, my favorite, chanterelle, which are the most delicious mushrooms, I think, on the planet, and portobello. And you can look for that study online. It's called White Button Mushrooms, Phytochemicals, and Inhibit Aromatase Activity in Breast Cell Cancer Proliferation. It's on the ncbi.nlm.nih.gov. PubMed website. True. But the white button mushroom was at the top in terms of this particular activity that they were looking for. The other mushrooms had some activity, but they did not fare as well. So it's not necessarily the most exotic or the most wild or the most expensive mushroom that's going to give you benefits. I think they all will give benefits, and they probably give different kinds of benefits, which is why you want to mix them up. Because variety is not only the spice of life, but it's a healthy part of life. I wanted to talk about two other items. So when I was going through my treatment back in 2006, 2007, and I was advised by the Block Center, Keith Block in Illinois, about all these different supplements they recommended I take. And then I also had a consultation with Dr. Ralph Moss, who is a specialist in conventional and alternative cancer treatments. And you can go to his website. What is it? I'll have to look that up. But you can purchase from him his report that come out every year on cancer or a consultation with him. And it's expensive, but it can be very helpful because he is right there with his fingertip on all the latest research that's going on, and it can save your life. His website's cancerdecisions.com, and he talks about different foods that are helpful in cancer treatment as well. And then, of course, I consulted back then with Dr. Furman as well, and he was very helpful. And it was funny because my mom at the time was getting different pieces in the mail recommending different vitamins and supplements. Very often companies will target seniors to get them to buy different products. And most of the time, they're just a waste of money. But she had gotten some literature on a product called Ave, and I ended up buying the product and using it. It's from the Harmony Company, and I can't say if that was part of my healing or not, but I did use it. And they have since worked on this product quite a bit. It's from fermented wheat germ. It's an extract from fermented wheat germ, and it, in a number of different studies over the last 10 years since I've used it, it has shown some really positive benefit, anti-proliferative effects against ovarian cancer cell lines and other types of cancer. It is a pricey product, maybe not as expensive as chemotherapy, and it is natural and doesn't have those toxic side effects. So it's definitely something to look into if you know people that are going through a cancer experience. Ave from the Harmony Company, a fermented wheat germ extract. And I just have like, how is it I always run out of time? The other thing I wanted to talk very briefly about is Noni. You've heard about Noni juice, and there are research studies that have been going on for a while now on Morinda citrifolia, which is Noni, and the studies are on the fruit, the seeds, the leaves. You can Google it and find out all kinds of interesting things. But, again, the studies that have been going on are showing some really positive results. Most of them are on mouse cancer cells in vitro. So we're not talking about things that have been given to humans and shown positive effect, that's like too hard and too possible to do. And but there were some very positive results recently on lung cancer using the Noni products, and that's definitely worth Googling and looking into. Morinda citrifolia. So there's lots of positive things out there on the horizon, and you know, if you are looking for some information and confused about some information, I'm always here. You can email me at info@realmeals.org, and I will try and help you and make sense of whatever it is you found or the questions you may have. The last thing I want to mention, back talking about mushrooms, because I have just like a couple of minutes, is because I forgot to mention this, is there are different parts of the mushroom. And if you're getting a concentrated mushroom supplement, you want to look and see where the mushroom came from, or where the what part of the mushroom they're using. Are they using the actual fruit, which is the part of the mushroom we see above ground, or are they using a cheaper mycelium product, which is like the root fibers in the dirt? And unfortunately, the mycelium is part of the mushroom. As I said, it's a cheaper product, and it's not as effective. So you want to make sure, if you're buying a mushroom supplement, to find out what part of the mushroom is actually being used. Whew! Yes, so we just have like a minute or so left, and I hope you've been visiting my blog, Ask a Vegan, because I put it there for you, and only you, to help you along your way and give you ideas. The soup that I was just eating, I referred to before, is just incredible. I just put the recipe up at responsibleeatingandliving.com. It is a tricolore carrot and red lentil soup. I threw it together in like seconds, and it's incredibly delicious. And I used purple, yellow, and orange carrots. They seem to be out in different markets from time to time, and they each color has different nutritional benefits, and they're all very sweet and lovely. And red lentils cook up super fast. Of course, the mushrooms are in there. I cooked them all for 30 minutes, some onions, and I think that was just about it. And it's this amazing, delicious soup. So I hope you go to responsibleeatingandliving.com and try that. Oh, all right then. So remember, send me an email at info@realmeals.org with your comments and questions, and we'll talk next week, shall we? In the meantime, have a delicious week.